don't give in. But you got to stay in the race. Don't give out. Don't get out the race. Because you can't handle it. You get tired along the way. That's the time you ought to press. When you get tired, that's the time you ought to call on the Lord. When it seems like your days get dark, you ought to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. When it seems like you're almost getting ready to give up, you ought to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength. You got to stay in the race. Paul's eyes is on the prize. The prize promised to him by God. So you can make it if you press your way through. I say you can make it if you press your way through. I've got to go. I'm getting hot now. But Trent, did you do me right? Okay, all right. It's too late now. It's okay. But I'll do it. Y'all forgive me. We can make it if you press your way through. Because you say, I'm determined to run this race. Your eyes got to be upon the Lord. Take your eyes off of somebody else and put your eyes on Jesus. Take your eyes off your loved one and put your eyes on the Lord. And if your eyes is on the Lord, remember the Lord is right there with you. Don't give up. You're too close to the finish line. I say, don't give up. You're too close to the finish line. And I've seen too many get too close to the finish line. And they give up on the race. Well, what you're really doing, you're giving up on the Lord. Because the Lord didn't bring you this far to leave you. And I'm determined to go all the way. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind that I'm going all the way. I'm not going to let nothing hinder my progress. I'm not going to let nobody stop me from running this race. It may get hard sometime, but you ought to tell somebody that you ought to run on if you're running for Jesus. I'm not going to give up. You got to press your way through that. And sometime you got to press your way through that. You got to tell the devil. You got to say, Satan, get out of my way. You got to say, Satan, just run. This race I'm running on. I'm running for Jesus because I'm not tired yet. Anybody been on the race and you can say, I'm not tired yet. I'm running because the Lord is holding my hand. Ain't God good and is all right. I learned to run. If you run with patience, if you run with love, if you run with joy, everything is going to be all right. And it's all right. Yeah, and it's all right. God bless your heart. But I want somebody to understand, you got to stay in the race. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he'll make everything all right. How many of you are determined, your focus, your eyes on the Lord? It got rough sometime. It got hard sometime. But you made it. You look back over your life. And you can tell the world, if it had not been for the mercy of God, if it had not been for the hand of God, I wouldn't have made it this far. I can look back over my life. I can say, thank you, Jesus, that you brought me this far. You didn't bring me this far to turn around. I'm a witness this morning. I can tell the whole wide world, how did you make it? If through the grace of God. How did you make it? It because I stumbled and I fell sometime, but I know somebody who was able to pick me up. His name is Jesus. Anybody know Jesus this morning? Anybody know Jesus, the one that made a way? way out of no way on Calvary cross. And I'm glad that Jesus kept on pressing his way through it, because when they nailed him to the cross, he never said a mumbling word. All I heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And God's good, but he kept on pressing his way through it. He stayed there all night Friday night and all day Saturday. But something happened early Sunday morning. He got up. With victory, because he kept on pressing his way through. What I'm trying to tell somebody, it don't matter how hard it gets, you got to keep on pressing. It does not matter how rough it gets, you got to keep on pressing. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to go all the way and not give up? Ain't God all right? Can you serve a mighty God? You can make it. You can make it if you press your way through. Don't give up. Got to keep fighting. And that's what we got to instill in our children. Instill in yourself. Don't look at nobody else. Look at yourself. And when you do that, God will bless you. Amen. Quit looking behind. Look forward. There's nothing behind you. Have anybody ever been driving and you're looking in your rearview mirror? You look too long, you're going to go in the ditch. You got to look forward. Too many people look in the rearview mirror, being nosy. Look forward and press. And we all can say this morning, a whole lot of you got testimony. Some of your older ones and some my age, you have testimony. Those young children will never know where God brought you from unless you tell them. Never know. Let them know we're living in the last days. Things are happening. Things are going on. Amen. We're losing our children. We're losing our children. You hear what I say? We're losing our children fast. And we're losing them the wrong way. We're losing all our means for gun violence. They're killing themselves. And I'm afraid our ladies won't have nobody to marry, have to marry a woman. That's a sin. Think about it. I'm serious. Killing all our men off, or they're all going to prison. And our ladies won't have a man to marry. See how the devil is working? You hear what I'm saying, church? Do y'all see how the devil is working? We got to be about our Father's business. I'm not scared to say it. I'm bold to say it. We're our men. Men need to stand up and be men. Amen. Women need to stand up and be women. If we're going to press on, we got to raise our children right. Tell them the right way to go. Gun violence is not the way. Amen. Can y'all come back with me a little while? You remember, well, I shouldn't say we, because y'all don't want to admit that. But anyhow, you remember when we was out there? We fought with this. We didn't fight with no gun.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
All right.
and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh God, our Father, we thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. We thank you for the instruments that have been played. We thank you for the voices that have been lifted up in praise. Now as we stand before you and your children, speak to me and through me that your word will go forth. As we celebrate together for the last time of this year, and oh God, if it be your will, the first Sunday in 2021, we will come together again and just say, Lord, thank you. Father, we know you can, and we know you will. It is our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Again, to the triune Godhead, these preachers that are here with me, I just feel good this morning. But here we are congregating the last Sunday in 2020. This have been a rough year. I say this have been a rough year. But it wasn't too rough that God couldn't handle. There have been some ups and downs. There have been some setbacks and backsets. But God is still on the throne. And one thing I love about where God sits, can't no Republican or Democrat vote him out. He's forever in that position on the throne. We're just glad. So glad to see Yolanda and Brother Delvin. God bless you. Tell me, God is not able. Stay strong, my brother. Proud of you. Y'all keep him in prayer. The book of Galatians, chapter 4. It's my last sermon this year, so let me take my time. Saints played the other day, so no hurry. And won. Brother Teddy, bless you. Still praying that y'all get a name. Laughter is good for you. Laughter is good for you. Galatians chapter 4, commencing at verse 8. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, and times, and years. But I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I want to talk on this thought. God's been too good to turn back now. God's been too good to turn back now. As we look at this text that is before us, it is the Apostle Paul, the preacher of the gospel. And in this text, he is preaching to the inhabitants of a region called Galatia. Paul, a zealous apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, a former Pharisee. Paul, a man with a perplexing past. Paul, a man who persecuted God's church beyond measure. Paul, a man whose dearest aspiration was to annihilate the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this same Paul, on his way to Damascus, on the Damascus Road, encountered the man that he was persecuting, knocked him off his beast, and a light shined about to blind him. And he said, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom you persecute." Boy, don't you know it is hard for you to kick against the bricks? In other words, you wasting your time if you think you're going to get victory over me. Changed his life. Paul began to preach that same Christ that he was once persecuting. And here, the Galatians, they were a people with a past. And it took an apostle with a past to relate to them. Because Paul knew, my brothers and sisters, this morning, how it felt to be in bondage. He understood their struggle. He experienced the inability of the law. He knew that the law was weak and beggarly. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul knew what it was to do wrong after you met Christ. Y'all didn't get that. We say what we did before we met him. But you haven't done all righteousness after you met him either. Paul said, "I am a wretched man, but yet God has allowed me to preach his gospel." And here he preaches to the hearts and the minds of the Galatians. They were baptized in Christ and they became one in Christ. They became recipients of the Spirit of God. They were no longer slaves. They were sons. And now Paul is urging them, after all that God had done for you, after all God has put up with you, he could have annihilated you, but he allowed the gospel to come in your direction. He gave you an opportunity to receive his word. And the Spirit of God saved your soul. And now here you want to go back from what you've been freed from? I wish I can talk to somebody right now. God has been too good to you. He has brought you through too many seen and unseen dangers to allow something to bring you back from what he's delivered you from. I don't care how much hell is going on around me. I don't care how much trouble is in my way. I don't care how many people scandalize my name. I'm going to press on toward the mark of the prize, because God been too good for me to turn back now. Here it is, the last Sunday in 2021. Somebody ought to be thanking God. Yeah, we endured a pandemic. Yeah, we endured injustice by racial police officers. Yes, we endured hunger. Yes, we have endured death. But yet, through it all, I can still stand here on this last Sunday in 2021 and declare with strength that God is still good. They have accepted Christ and they were baptized. But yet, things begin to digress. When messengers came after Paul and attempted to overthrow everything that Paul had done through the preaching of the gospel. They were willing to go back to the same elements that they had been delivered from. These legalistic taskmasters were called Judaizers. Judaizers were Christian Jews attempting to impose their religious customs and traditions on other folk. And so all that Paul had done through the power of God to preach the gospel, to transform lives in Galatia, Judaizers come behind him and tries to undo everything Paul had done. Sounds like Trump, doesn't it? All that God used Obama to do, he came behind him and tried to undo everything. But he was unsuccessful. Y'all, now y'all missing your praise. You watch this. Everything Christ has done in your life, Satan wants to come behind him and try to undo everything. You remember when you used to praise God without, you didn't care who looked at you. You didn't make no difference who was in church. But now you didn't got a little sedity now. And you may have a co-worker show up and you don't want to act a fool like they used to say in the old days and create racket because they might go back. But look, baby, God been too good to me. Matter of fact, if you want to really take a picture of me, videotape me, show it to everybody, it don't matter to me because you wasn't there when he saved my soul. You wasn't there when he fed me when I was hungry. You wasn't there when I was locked up and he still visited me. You wasn't there when I was on my bed of affliction. He told me everything's going to be all right. Anybody can testify and say wasn't nobody there but him. Trying to undo everything that Paul had done. And so as we get into this text and we'll go home, look at verse 8. He says, how be it then, when ye knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature were no God. In other words, Paul saying, when you didn't know God, God excused you because you didn't know better. But then he said, I can't let it end there. Look at verse 9. But now, after ye have known God, or rather known of God, how can you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Let me paraphrase those two verses for you. Make it very simple. Paul is simply saying, when you didn't know God, God overlooked you. Because you didn't know no better. But once you have tasted the goodness of God, and watch in the text, not only that you know God, but God knows you now. And after all that God has done for you, and now you want to turn back? That's why I don't understand how people can quit the church. Before you came to the church, before you even joined the church, before you even accepted Christ, God still took care of you. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. When you didn't pray, but others prayed for you, God still took care of you. Now you accepted Christ, you have joined the church, and now somebody done hurt your little feelings, and you gonna walk away from God now. The text is saying, once you have known God, how in the world can you walk away from a God that's been better to you than you've been to yourself? Write this down. Number one, I can't turn back because I've been freed from a paganistic past. They says in the text that they served other gods, which by nature was a no God. Buddha, man made him. I don't serve something man made. I serve a God who made man. See, Buddha, the statue, is stuck in the ground. Buddha can't come where you are. You got to go where he is. But I don't serve a God who's stuck in the ground. I serve the one who got up from the ground. And his name is Jesus Christ.
And see, one thing I love about him, he'll come right where you are. I wish I had somebody to testify. These Galatians have been liberated from a paganistic past. Formerly, they did not know God. They were in darkness of theological and spiritual things, but the word of God enlightened their understandings. And now Paul urges them. He pleads with them. He begs them not to turn back now. You've been freed from the bondage of sin. You've been freed from the grip of Satan. You've been freed from the power of the flesh. And why is it that you want to be shackled again by the elements of this world? Paul says, why you want to be imprisoned by the bars of unbelief? Why you want to be locked up in loose living? Why you want to be captives in corruption, caged in condemnation, incarcerated in adultery? Paul says, you have a chance to move forward, but you want to worship idols, which is adultery, serve gods, and by nature, which are not gods, who haven't done nothing for you before you met Christ and won't do nothing for you after you met Christ. But the one who put up with you. Watch it. Watch this. How many have praised God because he blessed you? Come on. How many have praised God because he answered your prayer? How many have praised God because he healed your body? Come on now. This is the last Sunday. Get it on out. How many have praised God because he brought you through things that you thought you wouldn't make it through? Now, here's the real praise. How many have praised God simply because he put up with you? See, too many people won't clap on that. Because for me to praise God and to publicly praise him because he put up with me, that means I'm testifying I did something wrong. Now, let me ask the question again. Now, for you super saved saints, it may not apply to you. But I want to talk to the ones that have been in the same boat I've been in. Slipped up, messed up, backslid, did things that you know God wouldn't smile about. But yet, in 2020, you're not in the ground. He still put up with you. Freed from a paganistic past. You don't have to worship gods that are not gods. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you have to be careful because God is a jealous God. You should be at church, but you're at the car wash, washing your car. Now, let me say this, and I don't want nobody to take this the wrong way. There are people during this pandemic really needs to stay home because they have underlying conditions. They cannot afford to get COVID-19. They cannot afford to get this disease because not only would it take them out, but it would take their family out. But then let me talk to the other group. Somebody told me one time, Brother Wes, y'all hear me good. I asked him, I said, baby, we've been having church. I know it was a pandemic, but I would love to see you one Sunday. And they say, Reb, it's not safe yet. I said, but baby, we're in the middle of Walmart. Ain't nobody took your temperature when you walked in here. Ain't no social distancing in here. But when you walk in Mount Zion, you can't come in without a mask on. Every other pew, y'all don't get what I'm saying. We have to be very careful how we address the issue. Because if I don't feel safe nowhere, then I'm not going nowhere. But if I can go to Walmart, the casino, go out to eat at restaurants, you don't know if them people done wash their hands, you don't know if they got mad, and you sitting there just filling your belly. But when it comes to God's house, oh, it's too dangerous.